All right, so get ready for a wild ride. We're going to deep dive into some, let's just say, unconventional ideas about taxes and citizenship.
Buckle up.
Exactly. So the source material today is this document called Foreign Tax Status Information Group, FTSIG, How to Leave Babylon. And it's a dense read for sure, but it claims to have the key to, maximizing personal liberty and minimizing your tax burden.
Yeah, minimizing that tax burden is a popular topic these days, for sure.
Always. But look, I'm no tax lawyer, so thankfully we have expert speaker here to kind of break it down for us and see if there's any real, substance to these claims.
Absolutely. I'm happy to dig into this with you. It's certainly a thought-provoking document, to say the least, and it starts right off the bat by challenging our concept of what it means to be a United States citizen.
Okay.
It argues that there are two United States, the geographical one that we all know, and a separate legal or corporate entity.
So they're saying like there's a physical United States and then like a United States that exists on paper.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay. That's a pretty mind-bending concept, I've got to say. What are the implications of that?
Well, the FTSIG argues that by default, American nationals are actually foreign to this corporate U.S. They say that we only become subject to this corporate entity and its rules like taxes if we consent to it through certain actions.
So it's like we're all technically outsiders until we do something specific that makes us insiders.
That's the gist of their argument, yes.
Okay. What kind of actions are we talking about here? Like waving a tiny American flag or something?
Not quite. That's a fun image, though.
Right.
They point to things like filing a 1040 tax return, using a Social Security number, or even voting.
Hold on. Are they saying that voting makes you more beholden to the government?
That's their interpretation, yes.
But isn't voting supposed to be about having a say in how things are run?
That's the conventional view, yes.
Right.
But the FTSIG sees these actions as signaling your agreement to be treated as a U.S. person, and therefore subject to the rules of this corporate entity.
So they're basically saying that participating in the system is what traps you in the system.
Yeah, in a nutshell.
That's a pretty cynical take, isn't it?
It's certainly a unique perspective,
Yeah.
one that raises some interesting questions about consent and the nature of citizenship.
Yeah, for sure. And if we're going by their logic, what would the implications be for someone's tax obligations?
Well, the WSSIG argues that becoming a U.S. person essentially makes you an agent of the Treasury, obligated to pay taxes on your worldwide income.
Oh, wow. So they're saying that if you don't play their game, you don't have to pay their dues.
In a way, yes. But it's important to note that this is their interpretation,
Sure.
and it's not necessarily supported by mainstream legal views.
Right, of course. It does make you wonder, though, about the boundaries of individual liberty and the reach of government power.
Absolutely. It challenges our assumptions.
Yeah, speaking of obligations, the document also makes this pretty bold claim about the role of the Social Security number. They call it a license to use government property and services.
You're right. That's a strong statement for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I get that you need an SSN for a lot of things, but calling it a license just seems a bit extreme.
It does. It's a very deliberate choice of words on their part.
Is there any legal basis for that interpretation?
Well, it's true that an SSN is required for many government services and benefits, but framing it as a license is a specific interpretation that needs further scrutiny.
So it's more of a symbolic argument than a legal one?
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay. But it does raise some interesting questions about the implications of using an SSN in everyday life.
It does. Is it truly a form of consent, as they argue, or just a practical requirement for navigating modern society?
That's a really good question. I mean, I've never really thought about it that way. It makes you wonder how much we unknowingly agree to just by going about our daily lives.
Exactly. That's one of the key themes the FTSIG is trying to highlight.
So if we follow their line of thinking further, what are we paying for with our taxes? Do they see it as like a fair exchange for the services we receive?
Not exactly. They actually argue that income tax is essentially rent paid for the privilege of being a U.S. person, with all its accompanying benefits and protections.
So they're basically saying we're paying for a membership we never signed up for.
You could put it that way, yeah.
I can see how that analogy would resonate with some people who feel like the government's taking more than it gives.
Absolutely. It's a powerful way to frame the issue. Although it's important to consider how this rent argument relates to existing tax law.
Right, because obviously the IRS doesn't see it that way.
Not exactly, no.
So this idea of choosing your level of membership is fascinating. Do they think there's a way to opt out completely?
The 56 certainly suggests that there is. They claim individuals have a right to choose which law applies to them, either common law and the Bill of Rights or civil statutory code.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting. They're essentially saying you can choose your own legal adventure.
In a sense, yes.
But how would that even work in practice?
That's the million-dollar question, and one that we'll need to explore further. There are a lot of practical and legal considerations to unpack here, and the 56 claims definitely warrant a closer look.
Absolutely. I'm very curious to hear more about the specifics of their proposed alternative system. But I think before we get into that, let's take a moment to just digest what we've learned so far. I mean, this document, while definitely pushing the boundaries of conventional thinking, is forcing us to ask some fundamental questions about our relationship with the government.
I completely agree. Even if we don't accept all of their conclusions, this deep dive is challenging us to think critically about the systems we operate within and the level of consent we're truly giving.
Exactly. And for you listening, I hope this is prompting you to ask some of these questions yourself. We'll be back in a moment to delve into some of the more intriguing details from the UFSIG document. Stay tuned.
I'm ready for more when you are.
Okay, so we're back, and we're still deep in the weeds with this How to Leave Babylon document. And things are getting pretty interesting.
Yeah, they really lay out some fascinating arguments.
Yeah, we've been talking about the Fuchik's idea that there's this, like, corporate U.S. that we can unwittingly consent to be a part of. And one of the more intriguing details they bring up is this clip from President Obama's farewell address, where he said, citizenship is the most important office. And they use that as evidence to support their claims.
Yeah, that's a clever tactic.
Yeah.
Using the words of a prominent figure to bolster their argument.
So they're saying, like, Obama was low-key revealing the true nature of the system, like some kind of hidden message.
That's how they present it. You have to remember their argument that U.S. persons are essentially agents of the Treasury obligated to pay taxes on their worldwide income. They see Obama's words as reinforcing that view.
So a casual listener might hear a call to civic duty, but the Fuchs hears a confession.
I think that's a fair assessment. It all depends on how you interpret the meaning of citizen.
It's like they're digging for hidden meanings, trying to decode the language of power to find proof for their theories. And speaking of digging, the 56 also draws heavily on biblical references to make their case. What's the deal with that? Are they building a legal argument or a sermon?
Well, it's an interesting mix. They use biblical verses, particularly from the Old Testament, to bolster their claims about servitude, idolatry, and separation from the world.
So it's not just about taxes and laws for them. It's like about something bigger.
It seems so.
Yeah.
Yes. For example, they cite verses condemning the worship of false idols, linking it to their argument against relying on government for benefits and protection.
So they're saying looking to the government for help is like worshiping a false idol. That's a pretty strong comparison.
It is. It adds a moral dimension to their argument, presenting leaving Babylon as a path to not only financial freedom, but also spiritual liberation.
It's definitely a unique approach, to say the least.
Yeah.
But it makes me wonder, who are they blaming for creating this Babylon they want to leave?
Well, the UFTIC doesn't shy away from pointing fingers. They accuse the government, all three branches, and even private businesses of deliberately hiding this information from the public.
That's a big accusation. Why would they do that? What's the supposed benefit of keeping people in the dark about their true status and options?
The Fuchs believes it's all about control. They argue that by keeping people unaware, the powers that be can ensure we remain dependent on the system.
So it's like a big conspiracy to keep us trapped.
That's how they portray it.
Yes.
They even go so far as to use the term weaponization of government to describe this process.
Weaponization? That's pretty intense. What do they mean by that?
They believe institutions are actively using their power to exploit individuals, and that the tax code, Social Security, even the banking industry are tools of this exploitation.
Wow. So if this system is so bad, if it's this Babylon they're trying to escape, what's the alternative? Do they offer any solutions, or is it all just doom and gloom?
They do propose an alternative system, and it's quite radical. They envision a world with voluntary participation in civil services. You only pay for what you use. There would be a fixed annual fee for essential services like courts and national defense, but with the elimination of entitlements and most taxation.
So basically they're saying scrap the whole thing and start over. That's a pretty major overhaul.
It is. It's like they're writing a whole new social contract.
It's a pretty idealistic vision, I've got to say. But is any of this actually legal? Could someone really just, like, leave Babylon and live by their own rules?
That's the big question, isn't it? While the FTSIG claims their approach is rooted in existing law, it's definitely an interpretation that would be challenged by mainstream legal experts.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason they call these third rail issues. They're the kind of topics people in power don't want to touch.
Yeah, I can see why. But even if someone wasn't willing to go all in on the FTSIG's approach, could they still glean something useful from these ideas?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This document, even with its unconventional and sometimes controversial claims, forces us to re-examine our assumptions about the relationship between individuals and the government.
Like holding up a mirror to the system and making us question things we've always taken for granted.
Exactly. And that can be valuable, yeah. Even if it's uncomfortable.
I think you're right. So we've explored the 56 core arguments, their intriguing details, and even their proposed alternative system, but we're still left with a lot of unanswered questions.
We are, and that's okay. This deep dive wasn't about finding definitive answers, but about opening up a space for critical thinking and questioning the status quo.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener? What are the key takeaways you should be pondering as we move forward?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway is that knowledge is power. This deep dive has hopefully given you a new perspective on the systems we operate within and the choices you have as an individual.
All right, so we're back. And I don't know about you, but my head is spinning a little bit after going through this How to Leave Babylon document.
It's definitely a lot to take in. I mean, some of these ideas are pretty out there.
It is dense.
Yeah.
But it really makes you think about things differently.
It does.
Yeah.
And I think that's its biggest strength. Whether or not you agree with the 56 conclusions, they force us to confront some fundamental questions about our relationship with the government.
Totally. Like, I'm looking at my Social Security card right now, and it just hits differently.
Right. It's not just a random number anymore. It's a symbol of this whole system that we've been talking about.
And for our listeners, you know, maybe you're feeling a little overwhelmed by all of this, too. But hopefully you're also feeling a little bit empowered.
I hope so.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, knowledge is power. The more you understand about how these systems work, the better equipped you'll be to make informed decisions about your own life.
Exactly. So what's the next step? For someone who wants to, you know, dig deeper into these ideas, what would you recommend?
Well, first of all, don't just take our word for it. Or the FTSIG for that matter.
Mm.
Do your own research.
Yeah.
Read different perspectives. Talk to people who have different viewpoints and then come to your own conclusions.
There's so much information available these days. You can find articles, books, forums, all dedicated to these kinds of topics.
And remember, approach it with an open mind, but also a critical eye. Don't just accept everything you read at face value.
Question everything, right?
Exactly.
Mm.
Look for evidence, think critically, and be willing to change your mind if you're presented with new information.
And if someone's listening to this and thinking, this is all pretty radical, I could never actually leave Babylon, what would you say to them?
I'd say that's perfectly fine. You don't have to go all in on the FTSIG approach to still benefit from these ideas. Just by questioning the system, by becoming more aware of how it works, you're already taking a step in the right direction.
So even small changes can make a difference.
Absolutely. Even just being more conscious of your interactions with the government can have a ripple effect.
So it's about awareness and taking back some control.
Exactly. And if you do decide to explore some of these alternative paths further, you know, there are communities of people out there who are doing the same thing.
Yeah. You're not alone.
Exactly. And those communities can offer support, guidance, and a sense of shared purpose.
Well, I gotta say, this deep dive into leaving Babylon has been quite a ride.
It has. It's been challenging, thought-provoking, and ultimately, I think, pretty empowering.
I agree. And for everyone listening, I hope you're walking away from this with a renewed sense of curiosity and maybe even a little bit of hope.
Me too.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it's all about taking ownership of your life.
Okay.
And making choices that align with your values.
Beautifully said. So with that, we'll leave you to ponder all of this. And we'll see you next time for another deep dive into the fascinating world of unconventional ideas.
Until then, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.